Philippians chapter number 3. This is a little bit of a special Sunday for me this morning. On June 1st, 2008, I preached for the first time as pastor of Kauai Baptist Church. And so today is 10 years. And I want to preach a message to you on the things I've learned over 10 years of ministry at this church. It's been 13 years, oh, almost 13 years total. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that story this morning. But it's been, I've never had a goal of making it to 10 years of ministry. I've hoped to make it for 10 years of ministry. I've never had a goal of making it 30 years of ministry. I hope the Lord will allow me to serve as long as He wants me to serve. But initially, when I first started being a pastor, there's a lot of people, not a lot, there's a few people who were less than supportive. I don't know why, but there was one pastor I ran into on Kauai, and he told me, he's like, you won't make it 17 months. And I don't know why he chose 17 months, but I was sure glad when 17 months passed. Because I was really nervous about it, because I thought maybe he was saying something, maybe he knew something I didn't know, and I was like, and then there's a lot about me that I was new, and I thought, man, yeah, he's probably right, I'm not going to make it 17 months. And we did, made it 17 months, and that was a little milestone, a little sigh of relief for me, but then there's always this idea that I don't deserve to be doing what God has me doing, and I don't know, and because I don't deserve it, I don't know how long He's going to keep me doing it. And so, but I do it as long as He'll have me. And I'm glad to this point He's had me. But I do want to tell you some things that about those 10 years that I've learned. And hopefully it'll be a help to you as we look at the next 10 or however long He has for us to serve. So 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, we'll start in verse number 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord might have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day. I do thank you for the milestone that you've allowed me to reach as a pastor of this church, and I do count it an honor, a privilege to pastor these people, your people. One of the challenges that was issued to me by my dad when I first began pastoring was this. He said, be the man that God can trust with his sheep. So for 10 years I've endeavored to be that. I'm sure I've fallen short. I'm sure that there are areas where I could have been better and should have been better. But God, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for allowing us to come this far, and I pray that you'd be with us as we continue forward for you in the future. I pray now that you bless this message. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can be seated. I wanted to share with you just how it all came to be, because I think that's an important part of our history, and not everybody here was there when it happened. In fact, there's just a handful of people who are here this morning who were there when I became the first pastor. There are a few, and that's a blessing to me. I appreciate that. Several have been here for at least 10 years and many, many more years than that. But I'm glad for their faithfulness as well. But I think, just looking out, I know the De La Pinas were here, the Alaipaleles were here, and George and Rhonda and Overflow. I'm not sure. I see too many more. Who else? Yes. Yes. The Macadamias. So I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for their faithfulness, and continuing in the word of the Lord as well, and so I'm glad for them as well, too, this morning. But I want to share the story of how it all happened. As many of you know, I was thinking about this week, and I thought a lot about this milestone this week, and it's interesting because I started pastoring when I was 23 years old, as a senior pastor, and what happened was my wife and I came to Kauai, and we started a church. That church was named Lanakila Baptist Church. One of the reasons why I named my son Lanakila was because of that church and because I like the name Victory, what that represents and embodies, and I wanted him to be somebody who was victorious too in his Christian life and in various sporting events. But we started a church, and it went really well actually at the beginning. The church went well, but the problem with the church, not the people, but the problem with it was we just couldn't find a place to meet. And back then, as it is today, much worse today, was the cost of property was really high. And today it's much worse, but we couldn't afford to find a place to meet. And we were bouncing around the different places. And actually, the Fongs are here too, because and we were just talking about how we met here on Kauai. And we had a Sunday. This was towards the very end of our time as Lanakila Baptist Church, right before I became the pastor at Kauai Baptist Church. And we were meeting at the pavilion over by Lydgate on the Kamalani Bridge side, where there's that pavilion there that they rebuilt. And we were meeting at that pavilion for church. And it was amazing. I actually stood outdoors, and the church sat on the bleachers. They were covered. I was not. But we did this for like, I think, almost a year. And not a single raindrop for an entire year while I was preaching or while we had service. It's pretty amazing. Now, right before church, rain. Right after church, rain. But never while we're preaching. And I don't know. I think that was God. If you want to argue about it, fine, go ahead. But to me, it was an amazing thing. And I got a call on a Saturday morning from one of our members of our church. He said, "Pastor, I think our church just burned down." Like, well, we don't really have a church. He's like, no, the pavilion where we meet burned. That's a Saturday. It's a Saturday afternoon. He's calling me. The pavilion where we meet burned down. So I drive over there, and sure enough, it's up in smoke. The whole thing is gone. It's down. What happened, there was a transient fellow there, built a fire, got out of control, burnt it down. Many of you know, now it's been rebuilt, but that's what happened back then. Over 10 years ago that happened. And I said, you know what, it's too late to call everybody. We didn't have a text message thread or anything like that. And I didn't know what else to do. What else? We're going to go where? And so I'm like, we'll just bring chairs, and we will just have service right there. Right there next to the burnt pavilion, and we'll have it. And we actually ended up going across the road in some trees. Everybody brought their chairs. There was kids in the trees. And on that day, four pastors show up from the mainland. And I'm going, well, this is what we're doing, you know. Praise the Lord. And one of them was Brother Fong, and they've been coming back every year since then. And so I appreciate that relationship. But I was kind of stressed about that. Man, I want to have a place to meet. And all the time, during that time, Kauai Baptist Church Temple, Kauai Baptist Temple at that time, was without a pastor. And so there was a member of this church that came to our church and heard me preach, came for several weeks. He said, you know what? After several weeks of coming to our church, he came up to me and said, can I talk to you? I said, yeah, sure, let's talk. Big donation, what's going on, you know? And he said, no, I didn't actually ask him that. But he said, you should really go talk to Kauai Baptist Temple. I said, okay. He's like, they don't have a pastor. You guys don't have a place to meet. And he goes, you guys are very similar in what you believe, and you should go talk to them. And so I said, like, you know what? That's a good idea. So I did. I went and talked to them, the leadership of the church. We had breakfast, and it went fine. It went well, but for whatever reason, no call back. I didn't interview well, and I don't know what happened there. But it ended up happening where I had to go. I went over to Oahu to preach for the founding pastor. He made some phone calls for me, and I came, preached here for the church, and a unanimous vote to be our pastor. I have the list. 17 people voted to have me come and be their pastor, and I was thrilled. A wonderful thing, and it was a great opportunity for me, for our church, to come together. We kind of put the two churches together, and here we are, 10 years later. And in these 10 years, there have been some incredible highs and some very deep and dark lows. There's been some tough moments. Again, there's been some thrilling moments, some outstanding moments, things that I'm just, praise God for that. Let's look at Renee. Renee's one of those outstanding moments when God healed her and is healing her and brought her back to a level that we'd never dreamed of. But there's been some tremendous joys in ministry, and there's been times, I'll be honest, where there was no joy at all. It's tough. I have had many laughs, and laughs get you through. Thank God for the laughs, but there's also times when I've cried, and cried a lot. It's ministry. It's pastoring. It's what God has called me to do, and I love doing it. It's my passion. It's really what I believe he created me to do. I believe that strongly. And so 10 years have gone by, and I've learned some things in those 10 years and in the 13 years that God has allowed me to be a pastor overall. But I wanted to share with you some of those things. There's no, obviously, I can't share with you everything. But here's a few things. The first thing that I want to share with you about these 10 years is that God is faithful. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible says, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil." I have learned that to be very, very true. God is faithful. There is times, I'll be honest, I've not been faithful. You know, the verse I used when coming into ministry was the verse that Paul used. He said, I thank God that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I don't feel that way. I don't feel like I have been all the time faithful. I've failed God. I've come up short. I've failed people. And that grieves me. Some of it's just human nature. Some of it's, there's nothing I can do about it. But you fail people, but through it all, I have learned that though I fail, though people fail, though even our church can fail, God is faithful. And that's a blessing. And that's something that I hold on to in 10 years of ministry is God is faithful. It's true. He's there in the high times. He's there when we celebrate. He's there rejoicing when we see somebody saved or we see somebody baptized or somebody gets discipled. That's awesome, and he's there in those moments, but he's also there in the incredible trying times and the difficult times and the times when you wonder, should I even be doing this? Has he got the right guy? I'm pretty sure he doesn't. I've had those thoughts. But God is faithful. He's with us. He's for us. He loves us. And he wants what's best for us. And ultimately, what's best for us is him. And so God is faithful. The second thing I've learned is that sometimes people, and I would add to that, pastors, can be frustrating. But you learn to love anyway. To be honest with you, nothing grieves me more this morning than the people I used to pastor. That's tough. And it's not that they're necessarily bad people or anything like that. It's just, one, I miss being their pastor. I miss that fellowship. I miss that commonality we had. But secondly, there's several of them that have made choices in their life that have absolutely devastated their life. And now, don't get me wrong. I don't believe that because I'm no longer their pastor, that's why their life is messed up. That's not it at all. But the reality is, as many times they've left the truth of God's word. And that has consequences. It's not, and there's people that, and I've learned in 10 years, people will blame you for their highs, they'll blame you for your lows, and you're probably not responsible for any of it. I didn't do that. You know, they say, "Wow, Pastor, look what happened in my life. Thank you so much." I'm like, you know what, that wasn't me. And then they'll say, "Look what you did." And I'm like, you know what, that wasn't me either. But you got to learn to love them. Love people. That's what it's about. Loving people. And yeah, sometimes it can be frustrating. Sometimes it can be difficult. Sometimes it can hurt. But you got to love. You got to keep loving. You got to keep doing what God has called you to do. You got to keep giving of yourself. So people can be frustrating, but we got to keep loving them. Isn't that what's true of us with God? Do you ever think of how we must frustrate God? If that's possible, if frustration is a thing that God can feel with us, I think there is. Man, these guys. I think we do at times, and I know we grieve the Holy Spirit. I know that we can frustrate the grace of God. I know that we can quench the Holy Spirit. And yet through all of that, he loves us. He cares for us. He wants us. And as we learned a couple months ago, actually in the message, God is not jealous of us. He's jealous for us. He wants us to be solely focused on him. So we love anyway. The third thing I've learned is that there are highs and there are lows, And through it all, our job is to stay faithful. When you start out in ministry, this was true of me, and I wish it wasn't true, but it's true. When you start out in ministry, you have a lot of expectations for yourself. And a lot of things that you envision happening for the church that you're going to pastor. You have, man, this is what's going to happen. This is how I'm going to be better than every other pastor that's ever pastored on the face of the earth. And you have these ideas, and I thought that I would never have a couple that would separate while I was their pastor. And I would never have a couple that would divorce while I was their pastor. I've seen it happen in other churches, but that's other pastors. That's other churches. Me and for us and for my expectations, we're going to be different. It's no different. And I have grieved while couples have separated and been divorced more than once, more than twice. And it's tough. And then you begin to think, because I put it all on me, that, man, there must be something wrong with me. And it was foolish from the very beginning. And that's not my job. No, my job is to counsel and to help and to preach the truth and all of that, but the choice is not mine. But what is my choice is to stay faithful. I thought that I would train the teenagers so that none of them would ever fall away from the faith. Again, I've seen it happen in other churches, and I've seen falls with other pastors. I said, no, they're wrong, and they messed up, and it's not going to happen to me. And I set expectations for myself that it's going to be different. And today, many of them have chosen a different path. And again, when that happens, you question yourself, what did I do wrong? And again, there may be things that we could have done differently. I'm sure there are. But the bottom line is, we must stay faithful. Because He is faithful. And there will be lows. There will be times that we go through where we wonder, are we really, man? More than once, more than twice, I have wondered, could somebody else do a better job? They can. You don't have to convince me of that. But my job is to stay faithful. There will also be great times of rejoicing. And we need to, I've learned that we need to make the most of those times and celebrate those times. When somebody gets saved, that's a big deal. Praise God for that. We need to celebrate that. When somebody follows the Lord and believers, baptism, that's a big deal. Because that's what it's about. Seeing folks saved, seeing them baptized, seeing them discipled. When somebody follows God in their faith and develops a faith that follows after them, that's exciting. And we should celebrate those facts and rejoice with those things. But no matter whether there's highs or lows, we have to stay faithful. There's a moment in my life that made a great impact on my life when I was very young in college, in Bible college, and I went to this neighboring church, and there's the pastor of the college was preaching there. He invited me to come along with him, and he had me give a testimony of what I was doing in college, what my plans were for my life. And the host pastor came up to me afterwards, and he said, you know what? You've got what it takes. Just stay faithful. And in the moment you say, wow, yes, I got what it takes. And through the process of a few humiliating experiences, you realize that I do have what it takes, because what it takes is faithfulness. It's not talent. It's not ability. It's faithfulness. And that was why it was so powerful about what he says. He says, you've got what it takes, just stay faithful, because what it takes is faithfulness. And through the highs and through the lows, we have to stay faithful. And the lows will keep coming. There'll be more in the next phase as well. But there will be highs. So we go through the highs, we go through the lows. And through it all, we stay faithful to Him. The fourth thing that has been a challenge to me to learn is that God rewards faith, but not yesterday's faith. And what I mean by that is, when my wife and I first came to Kauai, it took a great deal of faith. I was 23 years old. We just got married just a couple years ago. We were just figuring that out. We had a baby on the way in Pi'ilani. And we came to Kauai with $1,500. Can't even buy a gallon of milk for that today. Seems like it. And it took a great deal of faith. People looked at us, and people that supported us was like, man, what are you doing? And there was plenty that said, you're doing the wrong thing, buddy. One of them is, as I said 17 months, you're done. I didn't listen to anything. I just knew what God wanted me to do, and I had great faith in doing that. But do you know that faith is no good today? That decision is not going to be rewarded today. He rewarded it then. He provided for our needs then, but not today. And sometimes in the Christian life, we can look back at those decisions, and we can say, look at what I did back then. And yes, He rewarded it then. But today, there's another challenge in front of us. There's another great step of faith in front of us that we have to take. We cannot become content with what God did for us then. Here's the deal. The blessings of yesterday's leap of faith don't continue until tomorrow. There's a new step that needs to be taken. There's a new leap that needs to be made. We can't rely on the victories of yesterday for today's battles. Now, yes, they embolden us. Yes, that faith is growing, and we are able to make new steps of faith based upon what He did back then, but He's not going to continue unless we continue in faith. The just shall live by faith. Living is an active daily thing. And we take steps of faith. We follow by faith each and every day in what we do. Each day presents a new journey of faith. And so here we are, 10 years in. I've enjoyed it. I have. Again, ups and downs, sure. I don't like the downs so much. I've learned a lot more in the downs than I have in the ups. But there's been more than I wish to have. And as we look forward to the path before us, it's going to require faith to step out of our comfort zone, to step out of where we are now to something that He has for us ahead. And it takes faith. And I want to challenge you, and we're in this together. I want to challenge you that let's take steps of faith every day. And I know many of you have made great leaps of faith that God has honored and rewarded. But that was then. And this is now. And there's one final thing that I'm going to share with you this morning. There's many things that I've learned, and I've learned that a shoyu bottle is great for communion. If you ever want to use that, go ahead. There's lots of things I've learned. But these are some of the chief ones. This has been played out over and over again in my own life, in our church, in church members, time and time again. God's word is true, and those who obey it are blessed, and those who don't are not. It's true. I have 10 years of evidence in my own life and the lives of people that I've pastored. It's absolutely categorically true. If you obey God's word, you will be blessed. If you don't, you will not. The great parable for me is the parable that Jesus told about the wise man and the foolish man. I love this parable. It's one of my favorite parables that Jesus told. And He told a story about the wise men and the foolish men. And maybe you know the story. The wise man, he built his house upon the rocks, and the rain came and the flood came and the house stood firm. And then there was a foolish man. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The rains came and the floods came and the house fell down flat. And then he applied it. He said, the wise man is the same that hears these sayings of mine and does them. And the foolish man hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them. To me, that's one of the most profound parables that you can hear. If you listen and obey his word, you will be blessed. If you listen and don't obey his word, you will not be blessed. And I've seen it played out in my life and in our church's life over and over and over again. And yet we all have to learn for ourselves, don't we? We all have to go through that process. Truth is I hate seeing the blessings of God removed from a person's life. And he doesn't remove them. He's not picking on them. He's not arbitrarily ruining their life. He's not being cruel. But simply because they've stopped building their lives on the word of God, the blessings stop. And that's tragic. It's tragic to see, and people get enamored with the things of this life and the cares of this life and the work and the play and all the stuff that goes on around us, that they stop building their lives on the truths that are God's word, and as a result, the blessings of God stop. And they wonder, what happened? And they'll get sometimes angry because of it. Why did the blessing stop? Who's at fault for this? I'll find a whole list of people to blame. And it all comes down to, are you obeying the word of God? I've seen it time and time again. Again, you don't have to tell me it's not true or true. I know it's true. I've seen it. I've experienced it. So my challenge to you is this. Truth is many of us have to learn by experience. We do. We're just going to have to go through it. But some of us can be wise and say, you know what? I'm going to hear and do from the beginning. And I don't want to challenge you. Hear the word of God. Listen to the word of God. And do what it says. This man shall be blessed in his deed. And you will be wise. And that's an amazing thing. So for me, I'm excited about the next journey, the next phase, the next step. I'm excited about what God has for us. I hope in the very near future that includes a new building. And that's going to require a step of faith on all of our parts. And we can't rely on what God did in the past for the future. We can't say, God, provide for our new building because we trusted you back then. He provided back then. It's a new step today. It's a new journey. And we got to trust him. We got to follow. We got to have faith. And there's many more things besides that. I believe in our church that God is doing a work. I think that there's discipleship happening. There's growth happening. People are making decisions that are good decisions. And that's a blessing. And when that happens, we all need to continue by faith. Trusting him, faithful in the highs, faithful in the lows. Stay faithful. And there's one final thing I want to ask of you as we take on the next journey. I don't know how long God can be done with me whenever he wants to be done with me. He can. And I'll continue to serve him as long as he wants me. But as we go forward, challenging myself and challenging you, when you come into life difficulties, talk to me. Whether it's something you're mad at me with, or mad at the church for, or just don't understand, or somebody else did something, communicate. Because I've seen miscommunications turn into some of the worst disasters, and it all could have been avoided by just saying, hey, can I talk? Can I talk to you for a minute? Yeah. Most of the time, it's a misunderstanding. or most of the time, understanding is needed. That's all it is. Nobody's your enemy. Nobody's my enemy. That's what the devil wants to make us think, isn't it? Oh, that church member, they're my enemy. No. They're not. We just need to talk. Let's get on the same page and move forward for God. So as we get ready for the next, whatever, 10 years, 20 years, I don't see too many more than that. Should he tarry? He might not tarry. I don't know. But let's do something for God. Let's get busy about serving God. Let's put him first in our life, and let's obey his word, and let's live for God. Let's live by faith. Let's take those steps of faith. Let's develop a relationship with him. Let's read our Bibles. Let's pray. Let's get involved in growth groups and attendance to church. Let's do these things that help us in our relationship with him so that we might grow. And that's my goal, is that you might grow in your spiritual life, that you might be better next year at this time than you were today. More in love with the Savior, more on fire for him. And so I'm excited about it. Let's go ahead and close in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. We thank you for this time. Thank you for church. Lord, thank you for these people who've allowed me to be their pastor. I'm well aware of the fact that I don't deserve it. But I'm thankful to you for being faithful and allowing us to do church here in this place. And God, I do pray that you help us now as we look for the next journey. And I like to break things up in journey. There's really no difference between this week and next week or the week before. But help us to follow you by faith, obeying your word, trusting your word, forgiving, communicating. Most importantly, God, having compassion, making a difference. And God, I do pray now that you bless this time of invitation. I didn't preach a salvation message, but Lord, if there's somebody here that does not know you as their Savior, I pray that they would not leave here today without knowing for sure. And so, God, my prayer is if there's somebody here today that does not know you as their Savior, I pray that they would be saved today. I'm going to ask you this question. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for the sake of privacy, nobody looking around, and I can see in the overflow, I can see in here, and if you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven. I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior, and I want to make sure that you are sure. You can be sure. The Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. And so I want to pray for you here. I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? And I'll pray for you. Nobody's looking around, just me. You raise the hand up, I'll see it. You can put it right back down. I'll pray for you. Anybody like that here today in the overflow? Here in the main service? And Heavenly Father, help us to continue by faith. This life is a journey of ups and downs. There may be some be going through the downs right now, and there may be some on the ups. Help us to stay faithful, close to you and following you. Pray that you bless this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to take our hymn books. We're going to hymn 90.